Good afternoon. This is Joe Terranova, Chief Market Strategist at Virtus Investment Partners. It is my pleasure to welcome Doug Forman, Chief Investment Officer and Portfolio Manager at Kayne Anderson Rudnick. Welcome, Doug.
Thank you, Joe. Good to be here.
Doug, I'd like to begin by discussing something that I know is so important to the investment approach for Kayne Anderson Rudnick, and that is quality. High-quality companies with a competitive advantage. And if 2020 has taught us anything about investing, it is to focus on high-quality companies. If you could you speak about how quality matters over the long run, how some of the quality stocks have performed so far year to date, and what are the metrics that you and the team define as qualitative?
Sure, Joe. Well, I think quality for us in terms of metrics, let's start with that first. Quality is really a qualitative characteristic. We have all the financial characteristics that denote quality, things like high returns on capital, high returns on equity, low levels of debt, positive cash flow from operations, et cetera. But I think where we're different than a lot of other investors, and, you know, lots of people claim to be quality investors, is probably the most overused term in our business. The difference is that we spend a lot of time trying to understand, try to get behind the numbers and really understand what's driving that and how sustainable the quality metrics that the company's reporting are into the future. And that's really the key. So we're looking for competitive advantage. We're looking for a protected moat, sort of the Warren Buffett 101 type investing. But we're really, that's where we spend 90% of our time, is really on the qualitative aspects of what differentiates and protects a business from impending competition over time. And I think most investors, when they call themselves quality and buy some of the same quality metrics that we do, I don't think they spend nearly as much time as we do trying to look under the hood of a business and trying to figure out what really drives those returns that the company is currently reporting. And if you buy a quality business today and those numbers aren't sustained, then you're going to lose money in all probability into the future in that company and that investment that you're making as the business goes from being a great business to a mediocre or even poor one. So sustainability and competitive advantage is really the key. Quality, we think, is important over the long haul because the biggest problem most investors have in this business is staying in their seat. And by that, I mean, you know, like we saw in the first quarter and in March, when things get tough and you're watching your hard-earned net worth evaporate temporarily, it's very difficult to not emotionally react to that and do something silly like sell your entire portfolio or swear you'll never buy stocks again or, you know, have buyer's remorse that you did buy something in the last year or two that's now down 50% or more. So with the quality approach, it tends to be a smoother ride. And by that, I mean, you have less downs and you have less ups and usually speculative markets as well. But you don't get hammered in bad markets usually because you don't have a lot of bankruptcy risk. We don't have to worry about, because our companies have great balance sheets in general and little to no debt and positive cash flow in all but the most dire of situations. Our businesses, we don't have to worry, even when we have a global recession like we've had and we're in still, that these companies are going to go broke or they're not going to be able to make it out the other side when times get better. And so they tend to go down less than the index, and the indexes we compete against, they tend to hang in there better. And that's pretty typical going into most recessions that that's happened. Year to date, as you alluded to, that's been the case this year coming in. The stocks that got hammered, of course, were the same usual suspects. They're different names in different industries, but it's always over-levered companies with little to no cash flow, high levels of debt, and high fixed costs. And when your revenue disappears and you're in that sort of situation, very quickly are in financial distress, and the stocks go down a lot, and they go down a lot more than quality businesses. So that's why we think quality is important, and that's what we think is differentiated about our approach to quality from other investors who claim to be quality investors.
Let's talk about how we apply that quality to the portfolio, specifically as it relates to, have you been upgrading portfolios, managing market cap guidelines? How important do you view valuations at this time? Do you think they're richly valued or fairly valued? And are there certain sectors of the market that you're avoiding?
Sure. There's a lot of questions there, Joe. I think, first of all, in terms of upgrading the portfolio, whenever we have setbacks like we did in the first quarter, obviously, we do our best to try to make sure that we have the very best, highest quality companies in the portfolio. For the most part, most of our portfolios tend to have turnover in the low 20s, which implies about a five-year holding period. And so our turnover went up a little bit in the first quarter because we had some bigger market caps, particularly in our small cap strategies that we wanted to recycle into smaller cap names, but a lot of those weren't attractive when the the market was up a lot. And when it came down in March, we did do some trading and reposition the portfolio somewhat into smaller market cap names that we have high hopes for longer term that will become bigger cap companies over time again, we hope. And that's what we believe when we're investing in them. In terms of valuation, you know, we do pay attention to valuation. We obviously want to buy a great business as cheaply as we possibly can. But in this era of low interest rates, you know, valuations have expanded over time. Stocks I can't say are as cheap as they used to be back in March or even, you know, back in 08 and 09. But on the other hand, the fundamentals aren't as bad as they were back then too, at least on the businesses we own. And right now it's sort of interesting. I mean, there's a big gap between, I call them haves and have-nots in the marketplace today in terms of valuation. And the market, for the most part, has doped this out, in my opinion, pretty fairly, in the sense that the stocks and companies that have been hit the hardest and done the poorest and that are the cheapest, these are airlines, cruise lines, hotels, restaurants, brick-and-mortar retailers, etc. These are all businesses with very high fixed costs that are being hurt by the lack of travel and by the lack of business activity that's going on as people are trying to get healthy and stay healthy in this health crisis era that we're in. And then on the other side of the coin, there's actually businesses that are a bit more than benefiting from this. Actually, it's been the best sales cycle, best sales program, best marketing program they ever could have launched is COVID-19, because businesses have been forced to learn how to operate remotely. And I think, you know, if this had happened for a month or so, I don't think these changes would have been permanent or things would have really materially changed long-term at all if this had been very brief. But I think the longer this goes on, I think the likelihood that consumers and businesses are going to change how they view shopping online for groceries, how they view shopping online for apparel goods, how they view seeing a doctor online versus going into the office, how they view education online versus going to schools, etc. I think many of these things and group meetings and group conferences for many companies, you know, I'm not saying they won't have any more. They will, but maybe they have 50% of what they used to have in the future, even when people get healthy and this healthcare goes away. So I think there's a huge difference in valuation right now. I think it's appropriate because there's a lot of uncertainty. You know, will it take travel, let's say, you know, Marriott Hotel, will it take them, you know, 5 years or longer to get back to the occupancy that they saw less than a year ago in this environment because people simply don't travel as much anymore because they use Zoom, let's say, for instance, more than they used to. So I think it's an interesting period because of that, and we don't have the answer to that, but we're looking and looking hard, and we're keeping an eye on how that's going to unfold, we think, over the next couple of years and looking for evidence one way or the other on that.
Well, let's finish up by highlighting one of the disciplines that I know you and the team at Kayne Anderson Rudnick employ so well is really being solid risk managers and identifying, observing, and understanding how to manage around potential risks as they evolve. Are there any risks that you're thinking about here as we move into the third quarter?
Sure. I mean, there's always concerns in the marketplace, as you well know, Joe. There's always, you know, you can usually have a list of them and just enumerate them from 1 to 10. And, you know, different investors will disagree about, you know, what those concerns are and which ones are highest and lowest on the list. But the reality is, you know, there's always concerns. And what are the current concerns? Well, there's a second wave that looks like it's breaking out in California, Texas, Arizona, Florida, et cetera. So that's surprising and it's concerning and it's something we've got to watch going forward. I think that we'll get through this, but, you know, nobody really knows. And the fall will come around, and the fall is a bigger flu season, so we'll see how this really unfolds. And the more I read about and the more I listen to the experts and healthcare experts, which I'm not one of, by the way, the more I listen to people and look at some of the evidence in terms of the statistics that are out there from Johns Hopkins and other places, the more I realize I don't think anybody really has a handle on this at all. And so I think that's, you know, this could be with us for quite some time. It's possible, you know, maybe a vaccine takes longer, if at all. And maybe this becomes, you know, something we have to live with for a while. So it's going to, like I said, the longer this happens, the more it's really going to change the way people behave and interact, I think, in the future. So that's one big risk, I think. And then the second is, of course, the election. There's a lot of concern about that already. My experience in elections is, you know, the market maybe incurs some weakness a couple months before the election. And then usually, no matter who gets elected, the market does better. So it's almost like sell the rumor, buy the fact, and, oh, geez, all the people that raise cash thinking they're going to get a great opportunity if there's a Democratic sweep, for instance, don't get it, and they end up buying the market back higher. That's happened a lot in my career. So I'm no expert on politics. I have no idea what's going to happen this fall, but there is already a fair amount of concern about that out there, I think, which is another obvious thing. And then I think the last thing, really, which is the most important to me, is just what sort of structural changes really come out of this, if any, and how ingrained does the behavior that's changing become over time? How does that impact these industries? Like we saw with banks, for instance, right? I mean, the banks from the financial crisis in 08, 09, they got hammered. They were incredibly cheap. They had a big run for a year or two, and then they really haven't done much for a really long time, and their business models have been changed. The regulatory environment got changed. Their ability to earn returns got changed in many areas, and a lot of their earnings power got diminished pretty dramatically, not even to mention what happened with interest rates. So, you know, that's really the key thing that we worry about and take a look at. And so, you know, there are certain industries that I mentioned earlier. Well, I didn't go into that as much. Industries that we tend to avoid. And fortunately for us, we tend to avoid high fixed cost businesses that are capital and labor intensive and have a lot of debt. That's just like the antithesis of quality to us. And so a lot of those businesses that we've mentioned earlier that are being hurt fit into that category. So, you know, whether we believe the economy was going to boom and everything was going to turn around overnight tomorrow or not, we wouldn't be owning a lot of those companies anyway in our portfolios at Cain. They're just not quality businesses, even in the normal environment.
Yeah, it's tough to be an asset-heavy business right now. Asset-light businesses are being rewarded. Doug, let's make that the last word. Always a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you for your time and contribution today. To learn more about Cain Anderson Rudnick or any of the Virtus Investment Solutions, please visit virtus.com.